ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Hallelujah. So, women on a mission. Yesterday, I was talking about the scriptures that gave birth to DGC. And I'm going to read that again because, like they said, repetition is very important. So now, at the beginning of the conference, at the end, in between, I'm going to continue reading that scripture. So I go to Judges 5. Judges 5 and verse 7. And that is where we got the name Deborah's generation. It says, village life ceased. It ceased in Israel. Until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Isaiah 60 and verse 1 is a popular scripture. Isaiah 61, it says, arise, shine. It's a command. Like I said yesterday, it's not, please arise, I will make you arise. No, it says, it's like a military command. Get up, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Hallelujah. So this morning I'm going to be talking about, of course, because it is a women's conference and we're talking women on mission, I'm going to be talking about a woman and a set of women. So go with me to Judges again. You know, in that Judges, there were two women. There was Deborah and there was Jael. But a lot of the times we focus on Deborah. But there was this other woman. And I'm going to be talking about her this morning. Judges 4. I'm going to read about Deborah and then I'll go on to Jael. Judges 4 and verse 4. It says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth. So first of all, she was a prophetess. She was a servant of God. Before they put in there that she was the wife of someone. And that is very instructive. So as women, we first of all answer to God. Before we now take on, you know, the role of the wife, the role of the mother, sister, and you know, all of the roles. But says now Deborah, a prophetess. First of all, we answer to God. First of all, we have a strong relationship with God. It is on the bedrock of that relationship that all of the other things should sit. And the reason why we have so much challenges and so many other things is because that there's no bedrock most of the time. There's no rock. You know, we say we're standing on the rock. But most of the time, most of us as women are not even, there's no rock. It is sand. You remember that's something in Matthew 7. It's Matthew 7 or not, when Jesus was talking about building. So most of us are building on sand. And in these days of vanity, permit me to say that, because vanity has gone to another level. In these days of vanity, look, you know me, I like to look good. I don't like, you know, I tell people, me only in dirty. I don't like people, I don't work that kind of work that will make you be talking to me anyhow. I don't do it. Aside from that, I like looking good. That is my makeup. Eh? But it cannot just be this. It can't just be this. You cannot just be, you know, following the fad, looking at Instagram, they are wearing something now, this is what they are wearing, and it's all about what they are wearing, what they are doing, and bone straight hair. But Please, please. It cannot be just about that. There is a lot more to being a woman than her appearance. Appearance is good. Dress the way you want to be addressed, like I said. It's very good. But that cannot just be it. That cannot be it. We cannot carry you and you are very light. You know, there's no weight. So, it is very important that that rock, that, you know, that bedrock is there. Your relationship with God has to be intact. It says, so now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. Deborah was a judge. And that judge at that time, it was the head of state. It was Buhari. Even though she was the only female judge in Israel, but she was a judge. And, you know, I like the Bible. It's so complete. You know, these days, when we read the Bible, we think, now, this is 21st century, things are tougher. No, things are not tougher. Things are not tougher. They have been the same. It has been going around in cycles. So imagine in the whole of Judges, she's the only woman that was a judge. So, things are not tougher. But she arose to that place of being a judge. And that is God telling us that it can be you. It can be you. You know, that's what they call them, outliers. Now, that's the, you know, Deborah was an outlier. Because it was a patriarchal society. It was all about the men. The men were in control. The men were in charge. But God brought out a woman. It is an example for us, like I said now, that it can be you. You can be president of Nigeria. Nothing says you cannot be president. And we have seen that happening around the world. Britain has had 2 female prime ministers. And there are so many other in the world. So, it can be you. And she will sit and judge. So that is my background, like I said. Going to verse 8. Okay, so like we know, Israel was, they used to do go and come. They would just go. Then when they have suffered, they will come back again. So in this season, they had gone again. And they were being oppressed. They were being oppressed. And Deborah called someone, Barak. Barak would be the commander of, you know, the army at that time. And she said, go and deploy troops. So God said we should go and fight. But go to verse 8 of that Judges 4. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I am not moving an inch. That is Barak's response to Deborah saying, gather the troops and go. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in this journey, in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Because you have said, if you don't go, I will not go. Okay, I will go with you. But the glory for this battle will not be yours. It will be given into the hands of a woman. So let's go to verse 17. It says, however, they had fought the fight and God had, you know, routed the army and all of that. And everybody was running. It says, let me read from verse 6. It says, but Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagogim. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. It says, however, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heba the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heba the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord. Turn aside to me. Do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. I'm not sure he asked for a blanket. He just wanted somewhere to hide. Then he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent. And if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there any man here? You shall say, no. Telling her what to say. You know, like you tell your children, tell uncle that daddy is not at home. How many of us do that? Anyway, so then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with a peg in his temple. Judges 5. And this is the song of Deborah from verse 24 to 27. She says, most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. He asked for water, she gave milk. She brought out cream in a lordly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tent peg, her right hand to the workman's hammer. She pounded Sisera. She pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple. At her feet he sank. He fell, he lay still. At her feet he sank. He fell. Where he sank, there he fell dead. So this is it. There was Deborah the judge in front of the army, because Barak said, go with me. If you don't go with me, I am not going. So she went. But then there was Jael in the house. She was not part of government. She was not part of a leadership team. She was not even an army's wife. You know, if she was an army's wife, she would know that, okay, they went for war. She was in her house, minding her business. God brought the enemy to her in the house. And she dealt with the enemy accordingly. Accordingly. In her house. She didn't go out. And so, you know, when we were planning this program, I remember telling my team, and I'm going to appreciate them afterwards, that I was looking for a housewife. We wanted to showcase, like bring up somebody who was a housewife. We could not find anybody. Because now being a housewife has become a thing of the past. Everybody is doing something. There's no shame in being a housewife. A lot happens in the house. A lot can happen in your house. Jael killed the head of an army in her house. So, being a housewife, yes, I know that we have dissed being housewives and all of that. But, like I said, there's nothing wrong with being a housewife. You are a housewife for a purpose. Anything that you are doing that has a purpose is fine. Anyway, she was not in the forefront, like I said. But she was still, she was in the house, but she knew what was going on. She knew what was happening. She knew what was going on around. I used to listen to the news. For some time, I used to listen to the news a lot, but I stopped listening because it was just bad news, bad news, bad news. And there's an amount of bad news that you can take in. Like they have told us, your psychology, Abby, your mind. So prevent your mind. Yeah? But at the same time, we need to know what is going on. We cannot be totally unaware of what is happening around us. So there are some of us who will be Deborahs, who will go, who will be judges. And there are some, like the Susanna Wesleys, that are at home, that are raising giants for God. She raised two, Susanna Wesley raised two, Charles and John Wesley. They started Methodist Church. She had God knows how many children. She had so many children. But she was at home. But she was raising. So some of us that are going to be in the forefront. There are some of us that are still going to be at the back end. But being at the back end does not make you less relevant. And that's something that we have to, you have to settle with yourself. Being at the back end does not make you less relevant. Women are on a mission. Anywhere you find yourself, there is something happening. There is something that you can take up as a mission. In your area, depending on the area where you live, like we have heard this morning, there may be some children that you need to mentor. And, you know, now, in fact, even in church, before when we were growing, anybody could discipline you. If they will tell you, I will beat you. And when I see your mom, I will tell your mom that I beat you. Now, even in church, you cannot just talk to another sister's child anyhow. Because the woman will come charging to you. Why did you? That is not how life is. They say it takes 4 eyes to give birth to a child. It takes a whole village to train your child. You cannot be that woman that they cannot talk to their child. They say, please, I don't want her wahala. Just leave her child. Just leave her. Leave her. When I talk to her, now the woman will come. No, 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 no. Please, let's stop it. Let's stop it. At least not in the household. In fact, even in school, if they say your child is something, yes, I know there's abuse. Don't let the first thing be charging to go and meet that teacher. Teacher, excuse me. What? There are ways to find out things. Hallelujah. So please, wherever you are at, there is a mission. That's the message this morning. And that's why I'm talking about Jael. I'm not talking about Deborah, because all of us know Deborah. We want to be. No. There are people that are at the back end. Like they said, like David instituted, the people that went to war and the ones that are at home, they are going to share, they are going to part alike. Just make sure that you are where God said you should be. Praise the Lord. And the most important thing is to be open and ready to do God's will and his bidding. Jael was, I'm still thinking about it. Okay, let me go with my notes. We must always be on the side of the Lord. And this example again comes to mind, Ruth. Ruth was a Gentile, but was married into Israel. And the husband died, and the mother-in-law said, go. There are two of them, Orpah and Ruth. Go back, oh, there's nothing to... And Ruth said, no, I'm not going back. Your God shall be my God. Little wonder that her name shows up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Because she left the unknown. She left the known for the unknown. Yes, I'm sure that when her father-in-law, the husband was around, they would have, and she must have been wondering, this God that they are talking about, I think I would like to know this God. So, we must always be on the side of the Lord. Jael had insight. Beyond physical relations and affiliations, she knew what best to do at that time. What she did was like a diplomatic... She would have caused a diplomatic war. Because her family, the family of her husband, according to what they said, were in good terms with King Jabin of Sisera. They were in good terms. And that is why Sisera could even run to her tent, thinking that I'm safe. So she had insight. She knew what was best to do at that time. The action she took reversed a long-standing diplomatic policy. Because it was a diplomatic policy. They were not of the same, they were different tribes, but they had an understanding going. They had something working for them. But then she went and she reversed a long-standing diplomatic policy and committed her family to a new alliance, because it was a new alliance. It was a new alliance. The husband was not there. She was the only one that was at home. They were not with the Israelites. They were not with, you know, on this other side. They just pitched their tent in between somewhere. But they were committed. They had an alliance with this other side. But by her killing Sisera, she committed her family to a new alliance altogether. Praise the Lord. So she had insight. She knew what she had to do at that time. She was strong and decisive. It was not as if somebody was there saying, "Let us kill him." You know how we do when we watch all those. Let us kill him. Ah, is that? Yeah, let us kill him. There was nobody. She was the only one that was at home. And she took that decision, clean and neat. She knew what to do. Ah, is water you want? No, don't worry. I will give you milk. Ah, my Lord. You know? So he felt very safe with her. And she managed to calm him down. He slept. Then he went to get... I'm still thinking in my head, how will that tent... Because they were living in tents. So it's not this small tent that you want to do when you are doing... what do you call it? When you are doing camping. They are strong tents because that's where they live. So imagine the tent peg and the hammer. And she did it all by herself. She had skills. She was skillful. She had skills. Not be my skill safe. Because to carry that tent peg and the hammer and drive it into somebody's head, or that Juni, as in she not send. She not send at all. It would have been like as if she had been killing people before then. That's it. Because it's not something that you just wake up and, you know, and do. But she had skills. Hallelujah. She was not afraid to go against the known. She was doing God's will. Because as you see, Deborah had given that word before that, because you have done this, he will be sold, Sisera will be sold into the hand of a woman. She was wise and very present. Knew what God was, you know, knew what God wanted her to do. And that is coming again to that bedrock of having a tight relationship with Jesus. Yesterday, one of our speakers, even though she was supposed to talk about parenting, like more than half of her time talked about us realizing the children of who we are. First of all, even before you begin to parent your children. And it was very instructive. Very, very instructive. Us knowing what we carry, who we are, what we are about, before we're even talking about parenting our children. So, Jael killed an army general in her house. She didn't go to war. So that means that even in our homes as women, a lot can happen. Depending on how open we are, a lot can happen with your children, with your husband, with your neighbors, with, you know, a lot can happen. And we need to be very aware. We need to be very present. Very present. And like I said, your mission may not be the big one. You may not be Deborah. But there's space for the one ahead. There's space for the one behind. Everybody fits in somewhere. Deborah led Barak out because he said, "I can't go alone. I don't have time. I wanted to delve into some places, but there's no need. I can't go alone." But one woman was sitting back in her house, and she was the one that killed the army general. Numbers 27. I'm going to talk about the daughters of Zelophehad. Numbers 27. So whatever it is that God has been, you know, laying in your heart to do, don't say it is small. Do they need this? In this scheme of things, is that what we're talking about? When everybody's talking about the economy, everybody's talking about how to make money. Last week, we were talking about it. Money is not your problem. situating yourself in the plan of God for your life is your first, it should be your first concern. Praise the Lord. So, Numbers 27. Where's my Bible now? Okay. Let it not be that this long sighting that you're talking about. Hallelujah. Numbers 27. Because now everybody's, even Bible self is easier to read on. So because we are looking at, we can't see afar. Numbers 27, verse 1 to 7. It says, then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, from the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these were the names of his daughters, Mahlah, Noah, Hogiah, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses, before Eleazar the priest, and before the leaders and all the congregation by the doorway of the tabernacle of meeting, saying, our father died in the wilderness, but he was not in the company of those who gathered together against the Lord in company with Korah, but he died in his own sin and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed from among his family because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brothers, and cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. Like I said before, in this time in Israel, in the Old Testament, women were possessions. Either they were possessions of their father or they were possessions of their husband. In fact, what they did was that they changed possessions from father to husband. On their own, you could not reckon with them. And that's why they were talking about widows somewhere, you know, because once you die, once a woman became a widow, and the woman did not have sons that could take care of her, that woman was in serious trouble. So here are these daughters. Their father did not have a son. And the normal thing is that land, property passes from son, from father to son. If you were a woman, you did not have the right to inherit anything. And they were five. Their father did not have anything. So they went to meet Moses and give it to Moses. Moses did not say, yes, 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 yes. The law has been set. That is what God said. If you don't have anybody, then you go and sort out yourself. Moses said, this one passed me. Went back to God. God said, they're right. They're right. If there's no son, then they can inherit. Later on, they gave some more conditions. But first of all, they can inherit. Even though the inheritance was within some boundaries, but at least they can inherit. And I take some lessons from them as well. And this is, you know, all of us included in this matter. There was an injustice in the law. There was an injustice to the woman in the law. They saw it. They didn't go and raise banner. You know how we do this? This first thing to do is praise placard. Solidarity forever. They did not. They were not militants. Neither were they doormats. You say, this is where we find ourselves. What can we do? It's a lot of a woman. It's a lot of a woman. That's why we find ourselves. We'll do the best. They didn't do that. They didn't say it is a man's world. And go through life, you know, like I said. This is where we find ourselves. Woman is going through a lot. We are suffering. Woman is cheated every day. They didn't do all of that. They responded appropriately. They went to meet the Oga Patapata and said, Esa, we have an issue. And they tabled it logically. I remember one of my friends, years back, I think she was one of the guest speakers we had at the very first DGC. And she was saying that herself and her husband run a business together. And she was saying that when she wants to talk to her husband, she marshals her points. Because she knows that that is the only thing that the man will understand. So she will say, I think we should do this because one, two, three, four arguments, reasons. So the man will have no choice to say, okay, you know. So they must shout their points. They went to meet the ogre and presented their case in a logical and respectable manner. Logical and respectable. They were not pointing accusing fingers. It's you, men. It's you. Because, no. There was no need for that. There was a problem. What I need is a solution. There's no need to be going beating around the bush and all of that. But God used them because of the way they went about that matter. God used them to emphasize the inheritance rights of women and establish justice for them in the law. Because by now, before this time, the law had been, God had given Moses everything. All of the laws, all of the 600 and something commands and everything. And nobody mentioned anything about inheritance for a woman. But these people now found themselves in this place and said, are we going to keep? We're not going to keep quiet. And God used them to right that wrong, that oversight. It may not have been wrong, but it was an oversight. God used them to, handle that oversight in that place. And my point about the daughters of Zion is the way they went about what they went about. We can learn one or two things from them. It is not everything that is militancy. Now, everything is fight. No. What do you call it? Woman rights, female. No. It is not everything that is fight. It's not everything that is militancy. We move. No. There are issues, and even within the home, there are issues that can be resolved amicably. But we tend to take everything. You are being cheated. I think that is the mindset you are talking about. Psychology. A woman is cheated. A woman is cheated. Please. I'm not going there. Anyway, there are ways to handle matters. As a woman on a mission, you will meet stumbling blocks. You will meet obstacles. You must develop wisdom. God must give you wisdom to handle matters and to settle issues amicably. That was one of the things that Deborah was doing as a judge. She was settling disputes. They will come to her. She will settle the dispute. So as a woman on a mission, we must get the wisdom to settle matters amicably. Settle matters amicably. You know, these daughters were intelligent. They were young, assertive young women. They just said what they wanted. Leave all of the other things out. No, this one is the one that we have come for. No, paparazzi. No. Don't join. Don't come and be joining. You know, that's what we do now. There's one matter. There's a big matter. Then we go and be small things around it. At the end of the day, both the big and the small, we no go see road. So, they were assertive. And as women, that's an encouragement. Be assertive. Don't attack. Because when we are talking, in fact, even talking to our husband, although it's both ways, even men too do it. I think in this part of the world, we're not taught to be assertive. It's either you are attacking or you are talking down. We're not taught to be assertive. Just say what you want without any, addendums and all of that. We need to, take that in. Because like I said, as a woman on a mission, you are going to come across issues. And you need to know how to resolve issues amicably. Praise the Lord. Philemon 1 and verse 6. As I tie up, I think my time is up. Philemon 1 verse 6. Let's read from verse 5. Paul was talking to Philemon here and was saying, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. My emphasis is on this part six, like the second part. The sharing of our faith cannot be effective until we ourselves acknowledge the good things that are in us. And as women, I just read Psalm 144 right now. We are pillars. We are pillars. First of all, like I said yesterday, like I said, the speaker yesterday was talking about us being godly seed. You woman self, you are a godly seed. No, we're not talking about, yes, your children being a god, but you also are a godly seed. The sharing of our faith, the sharing of this mission that we are on cannot be effective until we acknowledge every good thing which is in us, in Christ Jesus. So say to yourself this morning, I am a good thing. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a good thing. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a woman on a mission. I have an assignment. I have an assignment. And I will fulfill that assignment for Christ in the name of Jesus. So for us to make progress, we must acknowledge that we have a part to play. I think I was talking about it yesterday as well. The Bible says that male and female, he created them. Even before Eve was formed, God already had it in mind that he was going to do male and female. So it was not because, they said in Genesis 2, it was not good that man should be alone. Even before then, God had said male and female. So you have a part to play. Men only can't do it. And that's why the world is suffering, because a lot of the women are taking back seats. We're saying it doesn't concern me, it is a man's world. No, it concerns you. It is not a man's world. The world was created for both male and female. And we need to rise up and play our part. Hallelujah. I know there are some women that their husbands, and it's not, so it's not the women, it's the culture, it's the society and all of that. And some men have just refused to change. Some men are African Christians. They are African before they are Christian. So when it suits them, they are African. When it suits them, they are Christian. So they are African Christians. But God will give us wisdom. God will give us wisdom because we need to be up and doing. And I'm going to say it again, particularly for women, we are the ones that raise children. And we need to begin to put a lot of emphasis on that. When we have children, we say that when God wants to change a story, he brings a child into the world. So we're bringing those children out. What are we doing with them? How are we training them? How are we teaching them? We have a lot of work to do. Please, I'm not advocating for being a housewife. But if you're a housewife, it is a fantastic thing. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Even in that, your housewifing, you can be slaying giants. Hallelujah. Like Jael did. You can be slaying giants. But please, we need to become more intentional. We need to become more intentional about how we live, about how we raise our children, particularly about how we raise our children. And singles, that starts with marrying the right person. Amen. If you are single here, that starts with marrying the right person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for coming for DGC 2022. Thank you for making the occasion very glorious, very fantastic, very fantabulous, very wonderful. Thank you to all my sisters that contributed, because I taxed you all. I collected money to the last minute yesterday. Some people were still crediting our account. Thank you so much for giving. Thank you so much for believing in this vision. It is a vision. We are women on a mission.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,